Welcome to Silence the Mind Cluck. I'm your host, Maria T. Finch, and I'm super glad that you're here. Get ready to quiet that mind and reap the rewards. Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Silence the Mind Cluck podcast. I'm Maria Finch. I'm an inner intelligence coach, and I'm so happy to have Phil Barth with me today. Phil, welcome.
Thanks for having me, Maria. I appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Delighted to have you. So to start out with, please tell us a bit about you.
So by day, I'm an IT geek, I guess you would say.
Okay, good.
And nothing wrong with that, right?
Yeah, right?
They became more popular with the advent of people like Gates and Zuckerberg. But I'm an IT geek by day, and I also have a business where I do keynotes on just the kind of thing. When I saw your podcast, I was like, I got to be on that, because one of my keynotes is called "Fry Your Chickens." The mind cluck, the chickens that are inside of you, and I talk a lot about that. And so when I saw that, I was like, oh, this sounds like this was made for somebody I need to talk with.
Yeah, no, we were meant to connect, because it's so funny, because right. I think of it as my goal is to help people go from chicken brain, where you got these chickens clucking at you, to owl brain, where you're quiet and you've got the 360 degree view. And so, yeah, when I saw that you talk about frying your chickens, I'm like, oh my gosh, like I haven't met anybody else who thinks of it this way. So that's awesome.
Love it.
Yeah. Well, so to start out with, tell us about a time when you were trying to accomplish something and you had lots of mind cluck and you got through that. So give us a story here.
Okay. So I hate to lead with the punchline, but ultimately I did become a contestant on Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. And Great. So I watched the show for the first time, and I'm looking at it thinking, this is a multiple choice test. I don't think I could do Jeopardy, where you actually need to know the answer. But when the way my brain works is, when I see a question with four options, I can generally come up with the right answer out of the multiple choice. So I decided to start auditioning for it.
Okay.
And this process, it went 3 years, but ultimately I did land a spot. But yeah, this is where the mind cluck, the chickens inside of you, are just having a field day when it goes on and on. And every night you would call in and try to get a spot on the show.
Uh-huh.
And 200,000 people were calling, 10 people were getting a spot on the show. You had to answer questions. And of course, right, that's where you get the mind that's saying, what makes you so special? One in 20,000, come on. You can't beat those odds. And so you always have those voices. And I had to push through it. And of course, the longer it went in this process where I hadn't had success, the louder the chickens get.
Sure. And, yeah.
You ought to give up. You're not that smart. Come on. You know, all of that thing that we have, the imposter syndrome, call it what you want, where they're just constantly listing the reasons you can't do this.
Yeah. And so what were some of the techniques you used in order to break through that, to keep auditioning and keep yourself going? And, you know, ultimately you were successful, which is amazing. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. And a couple of things I did was, I started fearing the bigger chicken. So there's a little, you're not good enough, you're not good enough. But the bigger chicken was, I told everybody, I want to be on the show. I'm going to be on the show. I mean, friends, family, coworkers, probably people I'd meet in the street. And what happened then was, I knew myself. I knew I would give in to the little chickens. But when the big chicken is, 5 years from now, you're going to run into somebody and they're going to say, did you ever get on that show? And I'm going to have to say, no, I gave up. I would tell people, if you're going to be afraid of something, be afraid of the right thing. Be afraid of regretting not trying. Be afraid of writing that check to other people and then not being able to cash it because you quit. And so that was the first thing I did. The second thing I did was I married the right person.
Okay. Tell us a bit about that.
So what I did was I went before the marriage. Well, I was married at the time, but before this came into play, I auditioned in Chicago, flew to Chicago and auditioned and failed. And then I drove to Indianapolis and auditioned about a month or two later and failed. And then I got a spot in an audition in Cleveland, Ohio. And the night that I was supposed to drive up there, I looked at my wife and said, I'm not going. I'm not going because I've tried this multiple times and it's been a failure. And, you know, I'm going to go up there. I'm going to get like 3 hours of sleep, have to get in the line at 3 a.m. I don't, why would I do that? Uh-huh. And she said, because you're going to make it. You're going, this is your dream. And she said, you know, so she helped shut up the chicken. She knew it was those chickens inside of me that were saying this. It wasn't me. Uh-huh. And so that was huge because she put me in the car and that was the audition that I ultimately passed and got onto the show.
Okay.
So kudos to the one.
Yeah. Yeah. So each time that you auditioned and then didn't get on, what did you do? Because I would imagine that could become kind of soul crushing where you're just like, oh, you know, facing rejection after rejection. Like, how did you keep yourself going and what did you do to ease that?
Yeah. Yeah, it was. Because what they tell you is some of you will get a card in the mail that says you have been selected for the contestant pool. Congratulations. Okay. So every day you're going out to the mailbox and it doesn't show up.
Yeah.
And you're right. It was soul crushing. What I did was, it was so quick after Chicago that I landed a spot in Indianapolis. I didn't do anything different. And so I was able to fail the same way twice. After Indianapolis, I started looking around and Google was very young at this point, but there were forums. And so I started doing some investigation and tapped into other people's knowledge, right? The people who have silenced the chickens before me. Uh-huh. And how do you pass an audition test was the question I asked.
Oh, okay.
And they brought up some good points. Number one, they give you a multiple choice test at the start. And it's made up of questions that have already been on the show. So I watched every single episode. That was easy. Then the people who passed that test were taken to another room and they filled out an application. They gave you a number two pencil on an application with some questions on it. And then they were put in front of it, associate producers, and interviewed based on what they put on the questionnaire.
Oh, interesting.
So I was trying to be cute and tell them how smart I was and all that. And what I learned was that's not what they're looking for at that point. They already know you passed the test.
Right.
So what they're looking for is somebody who can share a story with the host. They want to hear a story that kind of makes the audience go, oh, that's really cool. In between the questions.
Right.
And the other thing I learned was you don't need to use the number two pencil to fill out the application, right? So knowledge, right? That silence. I took a four-color pen, markers, highlighters, and put them down next to my application. And so in red, the story I wanted them to hone in on or possible stories I wanted them to hone in on were right there in red. And so they did that. They asked me about the story. The story was my son was watching the show with me. And they always said, coming up in the hot seat, next in the hot seat, in the hot seat. And my son looked at me and goes, Daddy, how hot do they make that hot seat? And so when they saw that, that's like, okay, they can picture me. And it's exactly what happened. You know, in between this question and that question, Meredith Vieira can ask him about his son. And we talked about the hot seat.
Yeah.
So knowledge was key to overcoming it. And then even with the knowledge, you still had the doubt. You're not going to make it. You're going to fail. You're going to be tired the next day. It was having the partner that said, go. I've got the kids. I've got the house. You get up there and get your dream.
Yeah. So the other thing that comes to mind as you're describing this is being able to, so it's like the knowledge of whatever goal you're going for, like what are the kind of key background things you need to know about, but then also where do you insert your own creativity so that you're like, okay, let me bring in these different color markers so that my story stands out. So for our listeners, it's like, if you're shooting for that big goal and the mind clock's going crazy, those chickens are going crazy, like get knowledge, get information from people who've been there before you, and then also apply some creativity.
Yeah,
would you agree with that? Yeah.
Oh, 100%. And I think having the knowledge calms you down too, because you also need to be able to talk in that interview. And so having the knowledge of, okay, yeah, I did this on the sheet of paper. I know what I'm doing here. And you're just calm and it shuts down the chickens. And it's like the owl that I love that, that side of it. And you can just calmly pursue your goal.
Yeah, that's so good. That's really good. What else do you do? You use any other techniques, or that was your primary, that was your primary approach? I mean, what did you do to console yourself when you kept like not, you know, not getting on the show? Like, how would you, how, like, cause I can imagine you go to the mailbox, you're disappointed. What do you do?
I'm trying to remember. I remember being terribly disappointed.
Yeah.
I think after the second one, I kind of just put it on hold for a little bit. Because what happened between the second and the third was 9/11, 2001.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
They shut down the auditions and so on. So when it came back, I was ready, but I also said, I need to do something different. The other thing I did, and this was before the game, and it was early on when you audition on the phone, I would have like walk-up music, right? You know, all the baseball players have a walk-up, have their walk-up thing before they get up to the plate to get them all charged up. So I would have, I had walk-ups and just put them in my headphones and listen to it. And then like, okay, now I'm ready.
That's good.
That's big. Visualization is really big. So I visualized, especially after I got the card in the mail, and it was several months before I actually got on the show, I visualized sitting down in the seat and sitting across from Meredith Vieira. And just, so you do that in your mind. And by the time you get there, your mind is like, we've already been here.
Right. Yeah. So it's like giving you a sense of calm and familiarity and like, yeah, okay. I've done this before. I can do this again.
Right.
So how does everything around this experience apply to your life today? Because I maintain that everybody experiences Mind Cluck every day. So are there lessons that you've brought forward that you use regularly for whatever you're dealing with in your day-to-day life now?
Yeah, I believe in having a victory log, because there comes a time when you're trying to do something, it's like, oh boy, am I any good? And you go back to the victory log. And I don't mean the only thing that makes them the victory log was a 3-year pursuit that ended in Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. It can be anything. It can be the time I assembled a basketball hoop. I mean, it took me 2 tries, but ultimately I assembled the basketball hoop, right?
Yeah.
And so you just a little victory log, because I think a lot of time little wins all add up. So
yeah.
You keep that list. And when the chickens start squawking, you're no good. You've got that log to go back to. It's an Excel spreadsheet in my case, but I'm a nerd. But you go back, right? And you say, oh, yeah, I did that. And I managed in my life to land that one big game show. But every day there's little tiny victories that if you just write them down, because the chickens will eventually – you have a good day and see, told you were no good. And you're like, no, wait a minute. I've got 100 lines here of little things I did that I accomplished that were little wins. And you just go back to that and kind of build up the positive side of the ledger.
And do you add to that list every day, or how do you manage your list?
I do something on social media called, it's on Facebook. It's called Great Things That Happened Yesterday. I do it first thing in the morning.
Oh, okay.
Uh-huh. And it may not be victories, but they're very positive experiences. And I've been doing this for almost 7 years now. And it started off as just, I'm going to see how long I can do this.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of times we do it in November, right? Mine happened in March, I think. We had a week off and I started listing them. And people gave me likes. And if you get likes on Facebook, it's like, woo! Right? So I do that, and it may be a win. I mean, it is a win, right? I spent time with my family. We watched an old movie. That's a win. Uh-huh. And so the other thing about it is, if you do something like that every day, you're training your mind to look for what is good every day and what you're winning every day. And at first it was like, ew, what was good about yesterday? But the more I look, the easier it became, because you just train your mind differently.
And so when you're looking at what was good yesterday, like, you're looking at little things. I mean, it can be any little thing that gave you joy, gave you peace of mind, gave you whatever.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, I really like that. That's so nice.
And it can be the same thing. You know, mm-hmm. for a while I was like, oh, it's got to be something different. It's like, no, it doesn't. You know, mm-hmm. if I enjoyed watching a movie last week with my wife and family, and I enjoy it again this week, that's fine. Yeah.
Right. Right. It's like, you know, just putting more, like solidifying that as right. as something that is that adds to your feeling of goodness and, you know, satisfaction in life. I think so much. So I think that mind cluck can really detract from our senses of satisfaction and fulfillment. And the ways that we learn to silence that then amplify fulfillment. So if you're doing your victory list or whatever you want to call it, then that's a way to help just like build up the, okay, I'm doing this. I'm going for what I want. I'm seeking that sense of fulfillment and satisfaction, and I'm looking for it in my day.
Yes.
Yeah, so like 100%. I took a beautiful walk. I had, you know, I had a lovely snuggle session with my dog, you know, whatever it might be.
Yeah, love the dogs. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we all can learn so much from dogs.
Oh, I know.
I don't think dogs experience mind cluck. I think it's a human condition.
I need to be more like my dog. Well, mm-hmm. get two. Our dogs.
Yeah, that's wonderful. What else do you do just in your day to day to fry those chickens? I like that, is fry them. Not just silence them, but fry them.
Okay, so the other thing I like to do first thing in the morning, it's called ABCD, to put myself in the right. I call it ABCD. May not work for you, right?
Sure.
A is affirmations, positive affirmations. This is first thing in the morning. Uh-huh. B is some sort of book or reading. I like to read the Bible. If you like to read something else, something that connects you to something outside of your little world.
Uh-huh.
And if I don't read a book of some sort first thing in the morning, I'm probably going to get tied up in a bunch of things and not do it. And then tomorrow I'm going to be just as smart as I was today, which isn't that good. You need to keep moving, right?
Mm-hmm.
C is coffee.
Because okay.
I love my morning cup of coffee. And D, we've already talked about, is dogs.
Oh,
because
yeah.
You will be grateful. Because I get up. And if I'm the first one up, sometimes I am, sometimes not. But if I'm the first one up, I've got two dogs that are just showing me how much they love me. It's been, it's been hours. You're the most wonderful person in the world. And they're wagging their tails. And sure, it's because I'm going to feed them. But you know, I see the dogs and I like become a dog, right? They don't, they love dog food. They love everything. So that start with, I call it the ABCD method. Then I'm already great. And if you've got your mind primed with gratitude, you're really on your way to a good day. Now, I will tell you, it's DCBA, because the dogs will not wait. They have to be first, and I'm fine with that. By that time, the coffee's ready, and then the book, and then some affirmations, and I'm off to start my day.
Uh-huh. That's good. So any other suggestions for people out there who are thinking, well, how else can I fry these chickens?
So always be afraid of the real chicken. So
yeah, let's talk more about that, because I do really like that idea of what it like if you give into this chicken, what's the bigger chicken that would explain how that works for you.
Yeah, so there's let's talk about a very common chicken that I experienced growing up was the fear of asking out somebody else on a date, right?
Okay.
We've all been there. Oh, and the chickens are like, oh, out of your league. You'll probably get friend zoned and so on.
Yeah.
And so the example is the first time I asked my wife out on a date and all of the things I went through to try and get up the courage to ultimately ask her out on a date. And the thing I realized, number one, I did the same thing that I did. Well, I didn't tell everybody. That would have been ridiculous. But I had a friend. I was like, you know, there's this lady I'm working with, and I really think she's neat. And, well, why don't you ask her? Oh, and so I had a friend that was like, look, Phil, come on. You know, what's the worst that could happen? Come on. And so there was that. But more importantly was I finally had to sit and look at things and say, okay, the bigger chicken here and the biggest chicken of all in my mind is regret. If I don't ask her out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if I ask her out and the answer is no, I'm in the same situation I was today. If I don't ask her out, I can spend a lifetime regretting what might have been.
Yeah.
And I think if you're really focused on what's the worst that could happen, it's not doing something and the regret afterwards. And right. That's the chicken you really should be afraid of. The chicken right. That's going to haunt you for the rest of your life or however long. And that one is the one that I've used there and regretting not trying my best at millionaire, but just being afraid of regret. Ultimately, I got up the courage and we've been married for 32 years now. So,
wow. Yeah. Okay. So those were two bigger chickens. You're like, nope, not going to be a part of my life.
Right. Exactly. I'm not going to have regret for the rest of my life.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I think for our listeners, for someone who's at a crossroads and trying to decide, like, do I take this risk in seeking to accomplish some goal? Then the question could be, will I regret it if I don't try? And right. If you ask yourself that and then really tune into your gut. So don't let the chickens answer for you, because the chickens will be like, no, you shouldn't do it because blah, blah, blah. But right. If you tune into your inner intelligence and you say, okay, am I going to regret if I don't try and do this as hard as it might seem? And the answer is, yeah, you're going to regret it. Then go for it.
Exactly. Exactly. Take your best shot.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. All right. Well, we are getting towards the end of our time here. So I just wonder if there's anything else you'd like to offer to our audience.
I'm going to say it again. It's how you start your day. There was a study done by Harvard where they split their participants into two groups, and one group had a 3-minute negative start and the other group had a 3-minute positive start. So they're 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And the group, you may have heard of this, but the group with the negative start was 27% more likely to report having a bad day 8 hours later.
That
just blew me away when I saw that. So you prime your brain to be positive, mm-hmm. to silence the mind clock. You do it for all it takes is 3 minutes first thing of the day. You go 10 if you want, but start the day off positively and you will make such better progress on having a good day.
I think that's so wonderful. And one of the things that I always like to say is, I think in our society, there's a lot of toxic positivity where it's just like, oh, put a smile on it and everything will be fine. And that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about like choosing. So like choosing to look at your victory list and considering things like victories of, it could be something so small. Like my plant bloomed. Isn't it beautiful that I have this plant that bloomed and I've cared for this plant and now it's got flowers? Yes. You know, so when you're looking for those kinds of things, and so when you're making your victory list, it can be something like that, or looking at what was great yesterday, think of the little things. Like I took a moment, like this morning I saw the blood moon, you know, and so it's like, that is a victory because I got up early. I found it in the sky. I got to experience that. It's like, so keep in mind that when we're talking positivity, we're talking about like real things, not you'd have to pretend that everything's great if it doesn't feel great.
No. And there will be days when it doesn't, but just in general, if you start off with real things that are positive, you're going to dramatically increase your odds of having a great day and shutting up the chickens and being more like an owl.
Yeah. There we go. So next time mine clicks clucking, fry those chickens and become the owl. All right. Well, Phil, thank you so much for being on here today. Any last words or we're good?
I think we're good.
All right.
Fry those chickens.
Fry those chickens. Okay. Love it. Thanks so much for being with me today, Phil. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure.
All right. To our audience, thank you and have a great day. Bye. Thanks for listening. If you found this content helpful, please like, comment, and share across your social media. Are you sick of mind clucking up your days? Book a free initial consult with me at mindcluck.com and let's silence it. Thanks and have a great week.